You're listening to the Story Selling Podcast, where we help you create better content, double your impact and your revenue through the power of story and sales psychology. Here's your host, digital marketing strategist and founder of the Story Selling Masterclass, 16 Ramos.
Hey, hey, this episode was taken from a recording that I did recently for the Story Selling series. Enjoy. Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Story Selling series. If this is the first time you're watching me, my name is 16 Ramos. I'm a digital marketing strategist and I am the founder of the Story Selling Masterclass, where I teach people how to double their revenues through storytelling and sales psychology. Today, we are going to talk about how you can stop the scroll with stellar content. So I'm going to show you on this episode some tried and true storytelling techniques that are guaranteed to stop the scroll and engage your audience each and every time. So with people's attention spans getting shorter every year, it's really bad. There's an even bigger pressure for brands and content creators like us to capture attention, but not just that, to capture attention and to hold that attention for a longer period of time than the average attention span, which is now I think it's 2.6 or 2.8 seconds, which is very, very short. So I want you to remember a term, pattern interrupt. Okay, that term is gonna be very important and I'm going to keep repeating that term throughout this episode. So I want you to remember that because that is the one concept, the one technique that is going to get your content to stop the scroll. So with regard to social media content, pattern interrupt is a technique that involves any visual disruption. So any visual change that sparks and refocuses your reader or your audience's attention, so your viewer's attention. So let's dive in to what the status quo looks like for a business owner, for you as a content creator, or as a marketer. So people are almost numbed by the massive amount of content that they're seeing on social media every day. They're used to being sold to, especially during the holidays. They have too many choices of platforms to be on. There used to be maybe two really, really big networks. It used to be Facebook and Instagram, but now Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, there's Twitter. Twitter is making a comeback after years of kind of being dead. There's Pinterest, there's LinkedIn now, plus there are other platforms that feature maybe audio only content. So there's a lot of competition when it comes to platform share. Plus there are other brands, it's not just the platforms, there are other brands that are competing for the same people's attention as well. So it's not just you. If you haven't really clarified your niche, you'll really be drowned in that competition. So this is where pattern interrupt comes in, because it helps you break through all that numbing content, jump out of that noise, and engage your audience and really excite them as they're watching your video or reading your content. So when you use pattern interrupt, you alter kind of their mental and emotional and behavioral state. You know how you're just scrolling through your feed and you're almost like, boring, even though, you know, they're not really bad content. You're not seeing bad content per se, but it's just something that you're used to doing. You just scroll through hundreds, even thousands of different pieces of content, and it's just almost nothing surprises you anymore. Even as a customer myself, I know that that behavior is within me. So it makes me happy and excited when I see a brand tell a story that makes me go, oh my God, wow, that's high impact. So using pattern interrupt can really get your customer's attention when they're doing something like that, when they're doing something that they're used to doing all the time, like scrolling through their feed or even checking their emails. So this is also why pattern interrupt content are also called thumb stop content, because it stops the scroll, hopefully for more than 30 seconds or 2.8 seconds. So let's dive into some of the concepts that I've tried myself and some of the general strategies that you need to understand as you explore how to create more pattern interrupt content. So first of all, you want to understand hooks. So For video content, if you create a lot of maybe long form video or even short form video like Reels, you want to think about the first 3 seconds. The first 3 seconds of that video has to pique interest. Now, for written pieces of content like long form blogs or even mini blogs on your Instagram captions, for example, the first sentence that's called a hook or a headline, that must create intrigue. It should make the reader scroll for more or tap on that see more button. So these headlines or hooks can range from amusing to shocking to intriguing. So you want to put yourself in the shoes of your ideal client. What's going to get them to stop? What's going to get them to go, that's something. That's really something. That's intriguing. I want to read some more. I want to watch some more. So think about that. Now, also, this can be effective for email subject lines. So controversial subject lines are guaranteed to get more clicks. Like one of the headlines that I used I believe I used this for a video and an email subject line at the same time was when I wrote, "You're doing it wrong." And you know, that's controversial because it's disagreeing with my reader. It's disagreeing with my customer. But it's meant to be an educational piece. And I did that for a reason. I turned it into a controversial line for a reason because I did want them to stop and I did want them to scroll, and I got exactly that result. So it's okay to use something controversial like that. But that's not the only strategy that you can implement. Later on, I'm going to talk to you about specific lines that I also use for headlines. Now, humor is also a great hook because it can turn something boring into something exciting or new, even if it's a topic that a lot of people already talk about. Making light of heavy topics like aging, for example, or taxes. You know, there is something that I saw. There's a meme that I saw on Facebook recently, and it was a picture of a guy. I think he's a celebrity, but I don't quite remember his name now. But it was a picture of a guy holding a tray of what looks like mint liqueur shots. And that one hand is holding that tray and the other hand was holding a bottle of Gaviscon. And the caption said, this is what shots look like when you're over 30 or something like that. And it just made me laugh because it's so true. I recently had a gallbladder surgery because, you know, I've been feeling the pains. And I'm like, that's such a serious topic. But at the same time, I was able to laugh about it because that's just what happens when you get older. It's this, you don't digest food as easily as you did in your early 20s, and you don't digest alcohol as easier. So I just thought that was a great way to break the ice and to talk about a really boring / heavy topic for some and make light of it somehow. So it allows people, when you use humor, it allows people to feel less alone while learning something new. So if you want to learn more about headlines and hooks and have a set of templates that you can start with, I actually have a free download here that you can grab right now inside my Story Selling Society Facebook group. It's free. You can click the link in the descriptions right now to join that group. And when you look at the pinned downloads, one of the pinned posts is my PDF called 100 Plus Headlines for Business Owners. So these headlines are kind of like plug and play headlines or templates that you can use. And basically you can just fill in the blanks. And it has over 100 examples of templates that you can use as titles for your video, as headlines for your captions, as subject lines for your email, you know, wherever you might need a punchy headline. So download that, join the Story Selling Society Facebook group. It's yours for free. So that's for hooks. Let's go into the second strategy here, which is storytelling. I love storytelling because it really paints a clear picture and allows my audience to be a part of any story, whether that's an origin story or my personal story or a brand story. So when you're trying to tell a story, you want to really dive into the details, really paint that picture of what the problem is, what the journey is like, and what the destination looks like. So when I say paint a picture, I mean use descriptive words. describe and use imagery when you can. So instead of saying, for example, a lot of stories sound like this. My first year as an entrepreneur was very challenging. It was very difficult. Now, that story doesn't only sound like everybody else's, but it's also boring because it doesn't engage the person's or the reader's imagination. So instead of saying it was challenging or it was difficult, explain what that is. Describe what challenging looks like. So you can say instead, on my first year as an entrepreneur, I struggled with balancing my time between business and work. I barely got 6 hours of sleep and I had no clear marketing plan. That is more of a descriptive image because you painted a clear picture of how the problem manifests in someone's daily life, exact situations like I barely get 6 hours of sleep, how this actually manifests in someone's life. So try to be as descriptive as you can when you tell a story. Also, when it comes to storytelling, you can tell the same narrative or same story different ways because not all parts of it are relevant. And also, even you can't assume that it's the same kind of person listening to it each and every time, especially when you're distributing your content on different platforms. So when I tell a story, first of all, I think about, okay, let's take someone's personal story, for example, your own entrepreneurial journey. You want to practice how to tell that story and highlight the parts you think would be pivotal or important to who you consider would be your ideal client. That's where you need to practice first. Because, you know, if you go from point A to B and you tell your story in chronological order, it might be interesting for you or for your brothers and sisters or for your mom, but not necessarily for your ideal client. You have to understand that when someone's listening to you, you want to help them visualize themselves in this story. They want to feel involved because the core of this concept is the hero of the story isn't really you. You're telling this for a reason. The core of the story, the hero of the story is your reader, is your customer. So as they're visualizing your story, they're actually imagining each and every situation as them. You know, they're playing the role of the protagonist here. So not all parts of your story is relevant. Choose the ones that you can highlight that will be relevant to your ideal client. Also, when you tell your story, even though you keep telling it over and over again, you know, your story never really changes. It gets updated. You can tell it several ways where you can highlight one part of it if you're talking to a particular audience. So this is why, you know, story selling, I believe that as a brand, as a marketer, story selling as a concept is so important. Now, story selling combines the art of storytelling and the science of sales psychology so that you can talk about your brand and your product or your service in a way that feels natural and feels organic. It doesn't feel pushy at all. This is why I love it so much, is because if you're trying to convert with stories, it allows you to really talk about it in a natural way. Now, like I said, in telling your story, you want to validate what your ideal client is already thinking. And this takes practice, I'm not going to lie. I've had to keep telling my story for 5 years, I think, 5 to 6 years, until I was happy with the version. Not saying that there's like different versions of the story, that's one version is a lie and the other isn't. All of it is just still the same story. It's just that it's being told in a better way, in a way that highlights the pivotal moments that I know my ideal client will really relate with. So for more storytelling techniques, because I really dive into this concept and there are a lot of chapters that are involved in this, and in reality, I really had to practice this one skill of storytelling for over a decade. So for more techniques involving storytelling and sales psychology, what you want to do is subscribe to my YouTube channel. If you're watching me, you're on here right now, you're on my YouTube channel, want to subscribe right now, click on the red button so that you can You can watch a lot more episodes like this. But also, while you're at it, like and share this video if you're learning a lot of information here. So subscribe to my YouTube channel, but also you want to join the Story Selling Society Facebook group. I do have that link in the descriptions. So that's for storytelling. Now I'm going to dive into the third concept here, which is breaking the mold. And this is more of a mindset, really. If everyone else is doing it a certain way, you want to do things differently. And I'm thinking right now, as I'm saying this, I'm thinking of reels, right? When there's an audio that becomes a trend on Instagram Reels or on TikTok, you click on it, and a lot of people do kind of the same reel to the same audio, right? Because it's a trend, and that's how people usually do it. When they see a model of the first reel that was ever created using that audio, everyone kind of spouts out the same kind of reel. So if you can think of a different way to do it, you might stand out a lot better. So having this mindset for your videos is good, but also have this mindset for your imagery or your aesthetics, especially because trends really have a hold on people's feed, especially for a platform as visual as Instagram, for example. So I'm very passionate about this because it impacted the way my customers and my story selling students really saw me as a brand. So one of my first few students in the Story Selling Masterclass actually revealed to me why she enrolled for the class. And she says, you know, I really wanted to learn marketing. I wanted to learn from you, and you look professional. You seem to know your stuff. But more than that, the reason why I registered, or the reason why I signed up to work with you, was because you were very different. You weren't like anyone else. And she was very descriptive with the way she said this too. She said, you didn't look like most of the coaches out there that had, you know, the fall aesthetic with pumpkins in the background, holding a pumpkin spice latte with bonnets and gloves and looking all cutie cutie on their photos. You just didn't look like that. And it almost, and to me, you know, no offense to people who like pumpkin spice latte, because I like pumpkin spice. I also like the fall aesthetic, but I just felt like a different imagery encapsulated my personality a lot better and more accurately. And I grew up in the Philippines, and we don't have fall. We the fall aesthetic just wasn't a thing. And I didn't gravitate towards that aesthetic, even though I knew that was trendy. A lot of coaches were using it. It really looks bright and nice to the eyes, but it's just not an aesthetic that I went with. And mine looks a little bit more vibrant. You can go on my Instagram at 16 Ramos to see what I'm talking about. It's just, I don't even know. I just know that it's vibrant and it makes me happy. I use a lot of orange, which you can say is a fall color. But she was really, going back to that student's descriptions, she was really, she really emphasized that part where she finally found someone that didn't sound like everybody else. Because not only was the aesthetic different, the teachings were different. I wasn't parroting what I was just hearing or seeing from anybody else. So that really got to me how important standing out is, how important being true to your voice is. And even though it's a theme that everybody else is using, doesn't mean it's necessarily something that your ideal client would like to see. And if everybody else is already doing it and you do it too, what are the chances that you're going to stand out from that crowd, right? So think about your design, think about your aesthetics, think about your video content or your written content. Are you just being repetitive? Are you being an echo chamber for someone else's thoughts? Or do you actually have something new and different to offer? So those are three kind of general strategies to think about as you dive into the specific tactics, which I'm going to tell you about right now. So let's talk about two categories for content here: written content and video content. When thinking of pattern interrupts, you implement this concept a little differently when it's written or when it's video. So with written content, one of the tactics that I appreciate, I don't do this a lot. I do think that this particular tactic takes some practice, but when you do it right, it gives you great results. One is errors. So making a mistake on purpose with your headlines, for example, or your titles, or just your text in general. So with typos, the goal here is to get people to talk, right? Even if it's to correct you. So sometimes I put something up and there's an error in there and I can see the comment section blowing up because, you know, there are tons of people just correcting me. It's like, I don't think that's right. Did you mean this? And I'm like, yeah, I should correct that typo. But you know what? It's gotten me the comment. So maybe not. One of the things that I actually did was I think I made a mistake with how far back 2015 was. So it's 2023 now. So it's 16, 17, 18, 19, 21, 2. So it's like 8 years ago. I think I said something like 10 years ago or something like that. I don't know what mindset I was in. I typed it that way. And in the comment section, I put it up late at night. I said 10 years ago, it was 2015. Okay, so I put it up late at night, fell asleep. And then the comment section, people were like, either you're using a totally different calendar or there's something I'm missing because 2015 was just, you know, 8 years ago. And I'm like, oh, draft. That's what I meant. And I didn't correct that. I didn't correct that post because it got me the comments. But also, one of the more widespread typos actually in the crypto community, and if you're a crypto enthusiast, you might already know this, it's HODL, right? That term HODL, it's H-O-D-L. And when I was diving in a little bit into crypto, a lot of people were saying this. And I'm like, what does that mean? What does this acronym mean? And it's actually a typo for hold, H-O-L-D. So instead of the person typing hold, they typed HODL and it became a word on its own. And, you know, sometimes things like that happen. So when you make errors, it isn't always something bad. Appreciate the error because it gets people talking. Number two would be lists. So lists or listicles can be pattern interrupts because creating a list can be this incredible way of showing how much information you have and encourage people to read because it's such an easy way to absorb information. So not only does this method help visually to organize your content for the brain, it's like brain candy. It's just a much easier way to absorb content, but also demonstrates that you've put a lot of thought and effort into the piece. So when you visit my Instagram at 16Ramos, you're going to see that a lot of the long form captions that I put in are actually in listicle form just because I like lists and I organize or articulate my ideas better with lists like that. But also I find that it's much better for my readers that way because they can take and scan the whole idea without spending too much time. So sometimes it just works that way. So pattern interrupts, instead of putting in big blocks of text like that, create lists, organize your thought in lists. Three would be emojis. So there is such a thing as using too many emojis. So try to use maybe one or two or three when you're doing long form text here, but emojis can be brilliant pattern interrupts, whether you're sending an SMS message, an email, or creating a blog post. Relying on emojis or putting some emojis there can add an extra layer of interaction. So by using emojis in your content marketing strategy, you can also keep your readers engaged and get your message a lot more. Because if you use smileys, for example, or interesting emojis to back up certain statements or to emphasize certain statements, your message gets across a lot better because they serve the role of being visual anchors, these emojis. But again, there can be too much emojis. Yeah, I see a lot of posts sometimes using maybe 10 emojis in one line. I'm like, yeah, that's a little too much. You also want to think about your reader. Will they have access to reading emojis? Because some phones don't adjust well to emojis where the emoji actually comes up as text. So you want to be careful with that. But when you do this right, it can actually be a visual disrupt. Fourth tactic is intriguing questions. So you want to ask intriguing questions and interrupt someone's pattern of thinking. So you can prompt people to take a second look when you post a question there, because people love talking about themselves. So get them to talk, get them to share their ideas with you. Polls can be a great way to encourage someone to talk. It's a great way to ask your audience a question, especially if you're going to use the answers for marketing. So I use polls a lot inside my groups as well, so that I can get an idea about what my audience wants to see from me. And in turn, I get some really great ideas for content in the future. So get your audience to weigh in, get them to debate with you, get them to share their thoughts with you, even if you disagree. Because again, the point here is engagement. Fifth tactic under written content would be to be weird. Be weird. But this is one of those things where you also, it's an art, right? You want to be weird, and but not creepy. I'm in Portland and I appreciate weird. They have a slogan in here, like, keep Portland weird. And I've acquired an appreciation for being weird, because it really is, you know, it gives you a unique perspective on things and on people. So when you're thinking weird, it can be maybe whimsical illustrations, sometimes strange pictures, puzzles, questions that can really get someone's attention and make them want to read more, or spark, you know, at the very least, you can spark someone's curiosity and attract them to that comment section, get them to ask you questions. So this is a great way to compel your audience to take action as well, based purely on their desire to chase down a mystery. It's like, what does this mean? What is that? Like, what? How come? You know, I follow enough Instagram accounts about history and culture that made me go, eh? That's so strange. Like, how come they do this? And how come it's like that? Because it's just so new to me. So yeah, get people to learn something new from you. Don't be afraid to be weird. Don't be afraid to be different. So those are five tactics when it comes to written content. Now, when it comes to video content, pattern interrupt is implemented a little differently. First tactic that I love, and to me at least, this is tried and true and it never fails, is when I'm on, when I'm gonna make a video, it's almost always me speaking on the video. I speak directly to my audience. Now, if you're not comfortable with this, you don't have to do this right away, but let me tell you, if you do, it's really guaranteed to get people to stop, because faces, there's just something about elements, human elements, that get people to engage a lot better. So you can't go wrong with a speaking video, in my experience. So you can start by, if you do this, you can start by saying your hook out loud or saying your headline out loud, whether that's a question or a statement, or you can even call out the group that you would consider your ideal client that you want to reach. So one video that really does this very, very well, I wonder if I can find it and link it somewhere in the descriptions as well. But basically, it's a video of video creators, and they were promoting a course. A course where you basically learn how to create really professional looking videos. And in the introduction, they go, hey, content creators, do you want to know how you can make DSLR quality videos using just your phone? And I heard that. And I think where I heard that was a YouTube ad even, and I rarely finish YouTube ads, but I heard that and I'm like, oh, well, first of all, several things they did right. First, they called me out. Hey, content creators. And I'm like, okay, that's me. What do you want? And then they go, do you want to know how to make DSLR quality videos using just your phone? It's so clear. It's so punchy. And it's so simple. The offer was so simple to me. It's just, the clarity was amazing. And so just because of that, I was drawn in and I watched that entire ad from start to finish. And it wasn't a short ad. If I remember correctly, that ad was about 5 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes. And that's pretty long considering attention span is pretty short. And they held my attention all the way through, because they kept repeating that same concept all throughout the videos, like for content creators like you, if you just have a font, it really was like he was talking to me and I was the only person watching him on that video. And so talking to your audience like this and pretending that there's just one person watching you from behind that camera is really, really helpful, not just to get them and keep them engaged, but also to boost your confidence a little. Because when you imagine that there's actually a wide group of people watching you, it's a little intimidating. So if you're nervous, want to think about that. If you're nervous, imagine one person behind that camera just watching you and one person you trust who's not going to judge you. So go make your video if you haven't done this yet, because this is one of the best pattern interrupt contents that you will ever create. Now, so I just took a sip of tea, and being a slob, it just missed my mouth a little. That's what happens when we're live. Okay, so shock and awe when it comes to video. So you can use this shock and awe for emails or sales campaigns. And the idea here is surprising your audience with something that's ridiculous or wonderful, like a sales offer, for example, or some new information or some new content. So this can be anywhere from like a special deal, like a buy one, get one, or free shipping or free gift, something that you haven't offered before that's really going to get them to go, ooh, that's something different, or that's perfect timing. So even if it's, I would say the best time to really offer this would be off season or off holiday seasons. Seasonals, because they wouldn't expect it. So the key is offering something so ridiculous it's hard to ignore if you're in the position to do that. Now, if you don't really have any offers or are not in the position to make any offers like that, then you could offer new information or new content. You can create new training for free, a new webinar, a new download, new guide, and you can offer that to your audience. So actually, one of my top performing videos is my last one, where I talked about how to create and automate 1 year's worth of content in one day. I really wasn't offering anything there. There wasn't a sales campaign around it. It was just new information that I knew that my audience would love very much, because I have an audience who are entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, brands, and content creators and creatives. So that video almost has 60,000 views, or I think it's over 60,000 now. But the reason why it's performing so well is because I offered information that people won't find on Google very, very easily in that amount of detail, because that was a video that showed my exact tactics and it also had a workbook alongside it. So it's a great video. If you haven't seen it, then go through my YouTube channel and you can find it, or you can visit me on Facebook and you can find that video as well. So third tactic when it comes to video content would be to answer questions. And I love this as well because it's super simple, especially if you're already very knowledgeable in your industry. Pick a question and answer it. And it's also great for when you want to create little videos like reels, 30-second to 1-minute reels where you just answer a question real quick. It's high value, highly educational, and it's high impact if you're doing a talking video. So think about what people are struggling with in your industry and provide a response that answers or addresses their concerns or their questions. If you can actually provide quality content in a short amount of time and post that on a consistent basis, your impact would be you'll be a brand who is reliable with information that's high value, and they can rely on you to be regularly coming up with content like that as well. And for you, you'll have a whole library of high value, high impact content. And that in the long run is great for your insights. So of all the content, like I said, this is probably the easiest for me to make because the topic doesn't come from me, it comes from my audience. So remember when I asked you to run a poll, ask your audience questions. This is great, a great opportunity for you to get some ideas about what your next topics are going to be or about what those questions are going to be next. So this is why I love interacting inside my group. So you want to join my group, the Story Selling Society, because I ask you guys for some insights a lot in that group as well. And depending on what I'm looking for and what I find, I use those ideas for my next topics and I answer them in short reels or in long form videos like this. Fourth tactic when it comes to video content would be oversharing. Now, this is also one of those tactics that need practice, but even though it's risky, once you get this down, it can be a successful one for you. So basically what you do is you share more than you need to, right? You be vulnerable. So don't be afraid to be vulnerable. This could mean filling every inch of your story or your content with information, going overboard with sharing. Now, even though it's risky, like I said, when done correctly, this can make you relatable. And I have another tactic that you can implement alongside this. But if you're not afraid of showing people what you're afraid of, your doubts, your fears, your insecurities, sometimes those are helpful to share because it makes people feel less alone as well. So that doesn't mean, you know, whatever you're comfortable with, there's a lot of gray area when it comes to oversharing because what people are comfortable with will vary. I'm all over the place. Like on a personal standpoint, oversharing isn't something that you will see me do a lot, even though I am on my platforms almost every day in some form. There's still a huge part of my life that I don't share and I'm very, very private with just because this isn't something that I feel like I've perfected yet. But I'm getting better. But the key here is vulnerability. So think about all of the things that, you know, you want to validate your reader, right? Or you want to validate your audience. What are they insecure with? And is that something that you can help them overcome? Come from the standpoint of guiding them through this thing that they need to navigate or they feel like they're navigating alone. If that's the goal for your oversharing, then you come across as a coach, as a guide. Instead of, you know, sometimes people overshare just to overshare. And I'm like, what's the point of that? Maybe that's something I didn't really need to know. Didn't need to know about your married life and how you guys are having problems. And there wasn't a point to why you actually shared that, you know. But if you're coming across as, guys, this is what helped me and this is what got us through, then I'd see the point of why you're sharing that. There has to be a point. So that's if I have a pro tip for that tactic, that will be it. Have a point. Fifth tactic when it comes to video content will be to use headlines that has something to do with thievery, right? Thievery. And I say this because of one keyword that you can use in your headlines that will automatically, almost instantly get your audience to click. It's the word steal, right? Like steal the guide that I use to scale to 1 million in sales. Steal the training, steal the PDF download, steal the blueprint, steal the whatever. Something along those lines. So steal is a word that evokes emotion immediately and makes your audience feel like they're getting the deal of a lifetime. So use it, you know, use it sparingly because, you know, it loses its essence when you overuse this, just like any other tactic. So you want to vary this a little bit. Every time you come out with a brand new download, maybe you can use that word. Sixth tactic. How many more do I have? I have my notes in front of me. Just make sure that I am not missing any information here because I do want to pack my episodes with lots of information. Okay, I have two more. The second to the last is objection. Do you remember when I used that headline where I went, you guys are doing it wrong or you're doing it wrong? That's objection as an example as well. Essentially, it means disagreeing with your customer. And this could be done by stating facts or providing compelling evidence that prove why your opinion is correct. And then getting people to reason with you. So remember, disagreement counts as engagement. As long as it's healthy, you know, you're being respectful, it's healthy debate, right? And sometimes the people who actively argue with you are closer to becoming your customer just because of the amount of engagement that you guys have had. So, you know, one of the things that I disagree with a lot is the fact that a lot of coaches still do live launching, for example. And I have my thoughts about live launching. Might work for some, but it's never worked for me. I think evergreen courses are the way to go. I think live launching is exhausting. It's inconsistent, gives me inconsistent results. And I can go on and on about what I think about live launching. The fact is I disagree with it as a concept or as format for a course in general. And there are a lot of people who would rather have that. And we have discussions about that. And, you know, the thing with me is I welcome all ideas. It helps me learn, but it also helps the engagement. So don't be afraid to disagree as long as you're being respectful with it or creative with it, at least. And lastly, as a tactic for videos, is shared experience. So show why you're the right person to work with. And this could be done by providing entertaining or interesting information about yourself or by adding personal anecdotes. So something that I share with people is the fact that I'm an introvert, and that's as vulnerable as I will get, I guess, about myself. And people appreciate that I share that about myself because that doesn't usually come out in my content. And to some people, it might actually be a surprise to hear that I am an introvert, not an ambivert, or, you know, one of those trendy terms that mean you have both extrovert and introverted personalities within you. No, really, I am a true blue introvert, and I've gotten better with managing my energy and managing my attention so that and my confidence so that I can show up on video like this as well. And for a lot of my students, they have that same journey because a lot of them that come in are actually also introverts. And what they struggle with is how to show up without it being such a heavy burden on them mentally and emotionally. So when you share things that make you relatable like that, you make it yourself easier to trust as well. So that's a lot of tactics, you guys. Let me know which one of these you're going to try first. So let me wrap up with this. Using pattern interrupt, obviously these, I've shared with you all my tried and true secrets in getting people to stop the scroll and listen for a few seconds at least. Using pattern interrupt really makes your content a lot more interesting, but the key is to practice. So just because it didn't work for you once doesn't mean it never will. Like I said, it took me years to perfect some of these tactics myself until I found some of the strategies that I feel really, really comfortable that really come easy to me, but I practiced all of these. So give yourself some grace and some patience to practice this as well. So pattern interrupt is only one of the concepts that I teach students inside the Story Selling Masterclass. There are a lot more things that you can do to get people to stop the scroll and in effect, double revenues for your business. So if you're tired of seeing your posts and them not giving you the results, having your posts up there for a long, long time without giving you a single conversion, without a click, without a comment, or even a like, apply for the Story Selling Masterclass today. The link is in the description, thestoryselling.com, because guess what? That masterclass has generated more than $10 million in revenue across all businesses, and it has taught over 100 students how to create amazing content that compels action, gets people to click, add to cart, sign up for their newsletters, sign up for their services, you name it. So in this class, we use the strategies and techniques like pattern interrupt, but also we combine the art of storytelling and the science of sales psychology to help you talk about your brand, your products, or your services in a way that really inspires people and compels action. So apply for the masterclass. It's thestoryselling.com. And once you're approved, you're going to get on a 45-minute call with me, and that's free. And during the call, I do a health check on your marketing strategy. And this is where we go over your marketing blueprint for the next 12 months. So even if you don't sign up for the masterclass, you're still going to walk away with that blueprint. So it's going to be packed with value and packed with lots of fun. I will see you in there. Guys, let me know which of these techniques are you going to try right now. Let me know in the comment section. And if this video helped, please like, share, and subscribe. I'll see you again soon. Bye.
You've been listening to the Story Selling Podcast. Catch you again next time for a brand new episode. If you like this topic or have a story you'd like to share, reach out and visit 16ramos.com.